Amen. So we are in this series called Fence Destroyer, and today is actually finishing up this series, and I'll be speaking about overcoming the offense. And Pastor Christian has been doing a really good job, you know, in this series, and he's been talking about, you know, the fences that we have in our lives, and how Jesus teared down the fences of, you know, in our lives, and how should we in our lives take fences when we put fences around us so people can get to us. Amen. So today I want to talk about, like I say, about overcoming the offense. And I just want to read to you what Luke chapter 17 verses 1 says, because I believe this is very important to set it up this way. It is impossible for us to go through this life and not be offended by someone, of a person, a family member, or a friend. It is impossible. And Jesus says this in this chapter. It says, verse 1, it says this. Then he said to the disciples, Jesus said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Jesus is saying us here, it's impossible to go through this life and not be offended by someone. Amen. We all know this because we all have been offended by someone. Amen. And I'll tell you, you know, as we live this life, as we do our daily days activities, you know, as we go and meet with people, you know, during the week with our coworkers and all that, it's sure that we're going to get offended. Why? Because people are imperfect. We live in an imperfect world, so that means that people are going to do things, say things. You're going to do things, you're going to say things that it might offend somebody. Amen? And this week I just did something kind of dumb, you know, like, and I kind of like offended my wife, but, you know, we deal with that already, so unclean, you know. But it was a pretty rough thing that I did. Nothing sinful, but just a dumb idea, you know, that I had, that I'd go ahead and do it, and then it wasn't a very good, you know, idea after all. Amen? So, although the offense is inevitable, being offended is a decision. Amen? Even though we have to pass this life and we know we're going to get offended, somebody's going to offend us, but we make the decision to be offended. We make the decision. Nobody can make the decision for us. We make the decision to let the offense come into our lives. So I just want to share with you, I don't have like points. I just have like probably like questions, you know. And then we're just going to go through the whole questions that I have here. But I just want to read to you Ephesians 4, 31 to 32 says this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Because be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgive you. Amen. So Paul is telling us that we should be compassionate to everyone. Amen. Now I know that this is very heavy subject, and we're gonna go through like, kind of like a heavy things, and I want to diminish what people have done to you. Because I know that some of you guys have been maybe hurt deeply, and I don't want to diminish any pain that you have felt by these people, you know, that have done for you. But what I want to accomplish today is I want you to get to the point where you can decide today and say, I'm going to forgive because it's good for myself and it's good for others. Amen? So the first question that I have is here is that what happens when we don't deal with the offense? The first point that I have here is that when we don't deal with the offense. The offense causes us to raise a fence. Amen? It's very important. And we've been using this fence that Pastor Christian kind of built, you know? And he's been using it every week, right? And the first thing that the offense does when we don't deal with it, when we don't forgive right away, is that we raise a fence. Amen? We raise a fence. I don't know if you've has experienced this, but when somebody offends you, the normal thing, the automatic thing that you do is you kind of like put a wall between you and that person, right? Like a fence. And you begin to avoid that person. You begin to kind of like, some people, you know, stop talking to that person. If you see that person, you know, a Walmart is coming in towards you, you kind of go to the other way, right? Because you don't want to have that. I'm sorry, I was going to fall. You don't want to have that contact with that person, you know? Why? Because you have raised a fence in your life. Amen? And we all have done that at some point. Even in our marriage, you know, when we offense somebody, or somebody or our spouses offends us, you know, sometimes we put that fence. We don't want to talk about it. We're hurt. We don't want to talk about that. About it, we just hurt and mad. And we put fences. And all the who are married, you know that when you are dealing with the offense and you are mad and that confrontation comes, you know there's kind of a weird feeling to be around the house, right? Because you have to go, you know, to the house. You have to eat together. You have to, you know, do all these things. And it's kind of weird, you know, not to talk and to have this, atmosphere of just getting along, you know. It's just very hard, and especially when you go to bed, you know, and you have to lay down in bed, you know, and you don't know, you should say, I love you, you know, good night, or whatever. It's kind of cold, you know. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those who are married. Yes, what happened there? Because we raised a fence right away. And when we don't deal with the offense, sometimes we get to the point that even don't talk to that person no longer, no anymore. We cannot push that person away from our lives. Amen. So another thing that happens when we don't deal with the offense, it says, I put here that it keeps us from having meaningful relationships. Billy Graham's wife, they asked her when Billy Graham was alive. They asked her, "What is the secret to have a big marriage? A long marriage." And it says, "Well, I'm not how exactly she said it, but she said it this way, kind of like this way. Marriage is like a unity of two good forgivers. Amen. Two good forgivers." Two persons who knows how to forgive. That's how you make your marriage last for a long time. Amen? And I know we talk about a lot of marriages, but when we, even with a friend, even in our families, when we don't deal with the offense, I always want to say it different. Offense is different, right? It's like you're playing the offense. Offense. You can have meaningful relationship with anyone. Why? Because that person, certainly it's going to fail you. That person that you have a relationship, at some point it's going to offend you or say something that you don't like. And if you put that wall and you don't deal with it, then you can have meaningful relationship. You can grow in your relationship if you don't deal with those things in your life and that your relationships. Amen? So not dealing with the offense keeps us from having meaningful relationships. Another thing the offense does to us is it fills us with bitterness and it even poisons us. Amen? Maybe a year and a half ago, somewhere there, I received a call. It was on a Thursday. night, I was doing the small groups I was teaching. So I received this call. This person that rarely calls me. So I said, I was teaching, so I put it away. So then after we finished the small group, I went and called that person because I thought, you know, maybe something urgent and it happened. So that person called me, and that person was crying. That person was crying. And in my first, like, response, I said, well, is something wrong? You know, something happened? Like, and then that person tells me, you know what, Pastor Luis, I wanted to ask you for forgiveness. And I'm like, wow, you know, like, you didn't expect somebody to call you to ask you for forgiveness, no? And I say, why? And that person began to share with me what she's been struggling in the past probably a year. And that person told me that I hurt that person really deeply. And I didn't really realize that I did that. And that's why that person was asking me for forgiveness. Because she thought that I never did anything like knowing or I don't have to say on purpose. But she took an offense from me. And I didn't even thought that I did this, you know, because when you come to the church, you see people, right? But you don't know their hearts, you don't know what they feel against you, or, you know, you just see faces, you know, and smiles and all that, but you don't even know what they're going through. And that person tells me, when you were being here singing and playing, I couldn't worship God because you were there. And I was like, man, that's the worst thing that you, as a pastor, as a leader, you want is somebody that you're being like a barrier for somebody to come into God's presence and can't even worship because you are there. Anyway, he shared everything that she felt, and I say, I didn't know that you have these feelings, that I hurt you deeply in this way because I did this. And I say, I want you also to forgive me because I didn't realize that what I did affect you so much. And that person really impressed me, the humbleness of that person to taking the step to call me and say, I'm sorry. Could you forgive me? Now, I tell you this, you know, after that conversation, when we finished the conversation, we forgive each other, we pray for each other, and I feel really like, because that person was acting differently, you know. You know when somebody has put a barrier between you and that person, and I thought everything was fine. I thought people change all the time, you know. People, sometimes it's your friend, but in a few years, it's not your friend anymore like it used to, so people change, you know. I thought maybe they, you know, they change a little bit, you know, but I didn't thought that was because I did something, you know. And the reason I say this is because when we don't deal with the offense, it can be really damaging for our own selves. Amen? It can grow and grow and grow. And all of a sudden, you know, if you're a Christian, all of a sudden you can't even worship God. You can't even get into God's presence. You can't even get the blessing that God has for you just because you have that barrier between you and your brother or somebody in your life. Amen? So, then the other thing that offense does when we don't deal with it is that it chains us to the past. Amen? It chains us to the past. We can move forward until we deal with the offense. You can move forward. You can Like I said, you can have God blessing you. You won't see the blessings because you are what? Thinking always in the past. And the unforgiveness chains you to a past and to an event that happened. And you need to liberate yourself from those bondage of unforgiveness. Amen? Amen? So now, the only way that we can deal with the offense is to forgive. That's the only way. If you try to put it, you say, and you try to ignore it, it's going to come back at some point. Amen? So, how many of you guys know that when you ignore things that are wrong in your life, if you just ignore them, it won't go away. It never get better. It just stays there until the opportunity comes, until it hands you down the road and comes back to you. Amen? So the only way that we can kind of deal with the offense is through forgiveness. And I just want to kind of define what forgiveness is, because some of us don't, we know kind of like what forgiveness is, but maybe you don't know how really forgiveness means, you know, in the Bible. Forgiveness means a voluntary surrendering of any rights of revenge. Means that we live in God's hands. Amen? So when we say, I'm going to forgive, what we're saying, I'm surrendering my right to get even with that person. Isn't that powerful? You are surrendering. You could do something about it, but you voluntarily, you are surrendering your right to get even. In other words, when you hold on to the offense, you're holding it tight because you feel that it's your right. It's my right. That person took something from me. That person did something to me. I have the right to do something. I have the right to vengeance. I have the right to get even with that person. And that's why forgiveness is so hard for some people, because that means that I have to let go, and I don't want to let go because what? I have my right. I can do something about it. I don't want to let go of my right of get even. And that's why it's so hard for some people to forgive somebody, especially when they have done bad things deeply. They hurt you deeply. It's hard because there's feelings involved. There is maybe humiliation involved. There's all kinds of things going on. But when you forgive, you have to voluntarily give the right. Now, some people think, well, if I do that, then I'm kind of encouraging that kind of behavior of that person. You know, we make excuses and we say that. If I don't do anything, if I just let it go, then I don't know if this is a real world, but I'm condoning that kind of behavior. Is that a word? But the reality is not, you're not encouraging anything. You're just using that as a justification for yourself so you can keep holding it. Now, I know I'm talking about really hard things, because I know that forgiveness, it's not an easy thing to do. Now, I just want to give you some reasons why to forgive, and then we're going to go to the next thing that I have today. Reasons why to forgive. This is the reason why we should forgive. The first reason is because God has forgiven us. Amen? As a Christian, forgiveness, my brothers, is not an option that we have. It's a duty for us as Christians. Amen? If we consider ourselves as a following of Christ, I'm not saying that you just come to church. I'm saying if you say, Christ is in my life, I am his follower, I want to be like him, then forgiveness is not an option for you and for me. Amen? Let's see what Matthew 6, chapter 14, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says this. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Listen to this, because We think that God is a God that forgives us, but there's a requirement, amen, for God to forgive us. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you, forgive your sins. Very simple and plain, amen? In other words, God is saying for the Christian, if you do not forgive as I forgive you, because you don't deserve my forgiveness, you have sinned and you are far away from me, you don't deserve to be forgiven, but I do it because I love you and because I want you to have the opportunity to have a relationship with me. If you don't do the same to your brothers or sisters or the people around you, I will not forgive you. In other words, forgiveness is just an extension of God's grace in our lives. Amen. Amen? To others. The grace that we have received through forgiveness, that's the same grace we have to give others in our forgiveness. Amen? So that's what God wants. So the first reason is that, because God has forgiven us. Amen? The second reason is because forgiveness gives us freedom. Amen? You want to be free from the past? You want to be free? You want to move forward in your relationship? You have to forgive. As long as you don't forgive, then you are chained. As long as you are not forgiving, that person, you are in that prison, and you can't be free unless you forgive. Amen? The third thing is because forgiveness makes us more like Christ. Amen. Somebody says that you are never more like Christ than when you forgive. Because that's exactly what God did for us. In our sins, He forgave us. You want to be like Christ? We have to learn, exercise the forgiveness more and more and more in our lives. And that's how we become more like Christ. Amen. The fourth reason to forgive is because forgiveness gives us happiness. Pastor Greg Rochelle says about this, and I'm quoting him. It says, the first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. Amen? I'm going to do it again. I'm going to say it again. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest, and the first to forget is the happiest. We want to be happy, amen? You don't want to waste your time in your life being held in prison just because you can't let go of some things that you have carried along through maybe years. And I don't think this is an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing, but we can do it with Christ because we have experienced His love and His mercy. The Bible says that the love of Christ is so big because when we are still in our sins, God forgave us. Amen? And that's why we can forgive others. So now, today, I invite Brother Emilio, and I invite him today to share with us a time of his life when he needed to forgive a very special person in his life. So, can we give him an applause, amen? Amen. So, let me move this here. Yeah, the microphone. You know, you've seen it.
Good morning. To share my little testimony with my brothers in God. I will try to do my best because, like as you know, English is not my language.
Yeah, no. Okay. It's not mine either. So, but We're talking about forgiveness, so you guys can forgive us, okay? Yeah. Well, some people here don't know who you are. Some people do know who you are, seeing you around. You know, you attend to the third service, and I would like to ask you, you know, who was Emilio before meeting the Lord?
Okay, I'll be honest. I don't really like to talk about that time of my life, but my little testimony helped somebody. It's okay. It's good. It's good. In that time of my life, I was a really complicated person.
Okay.
Easily got angry. In fact, I didn't have enough friends.
Oh.
I was a really bad friend, and I knew a lot of people, but I have maybe two or three friends. My life was my anger wasn't on top of my life.
Okay, so you mentioned to me, you know, that you are you were not a person that you are very pleasant to be around with, and you also share with me that you will get like if somebody will say something, you will get offended right away and just like get into a fight. Very aggressive person, right?
Yeah. When I was 7 years, around 5 years old, my dad decided to run away his responsibilities. He rejected me, and that affected my life deeply. I never talked about it because my dad affect my life, but I have friends, I have some relatives. When they started to talk about it, I felt really angry with him.
Yeah.
And that affect my life because my relationship with another person is really complicated.
Yeah.
Was complicated because right now it's much better.
Amen. So he was sharing with me when his dad really hurt him a lot because he divorced his mom.
Yeah.
And he also didn't want to have any relationship with him. He kind of like reject him. And for many years, you tried to just restore that relationship in many occasions, right? You seek him?
Yeah, I tried to have a good relationship with him, but I couldn't. I couldn't. And when I was 18... My daughter Janet was born, and I decided to share with him. In that time, I didn't have cell phones and internet, just a letter. And he was living in that time. He was living here in the USA, and I was living in my country. And I decided to share with him about my daughter.
Good news, right?
Yeah, for my first kid, and he told me. He told me many, many bad things about it. Mm-hmm. And I decided in that time to send him to hell for many times.
Yeah.
I decided no more relationship with him. And I spent my life without him.
Yeah.
It really affected my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, and in that time, your dad didn't want to kind of have a relationship with your daughter. He just didn't want to know anything about your daughter, right? So many of us who, you know, have kids and all that, we want to share with our parents, we want to share with our relatives, with our family, you know, the joy of just having a kid, you know? And I can just imagine how that devastated could be for you, you know, when your own father can even want to know about what's going on in your life. Amen. So now, how does that resentment affect you throughout your life? Like, can you tell us a little bit?
How?
Yeah.
That affect me because my relationship with another person wasn't really good. Always fighting with everybody.
Yeah.
With living with a bad attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was 54 years old, I came here to the church and accepted Jesus Christ in my life.
Amen.
And God forgave me, and I decided to forgive him.
Amen. 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 So you tell me, you know, that the majority of your life, you know, you live without Christ. And somehow that hurt and that resentment that you have against your dad, it kind of reflected in other relationships that you have. And the fact that you were very aggressive is because you have, in your inside, you have all that anger kind of like piling up. And whenever somebody would do something, you just explode it because you have that anger inside your life.
Yeah, I know. I have a little bomb in myself.
Yeah, like a little mine there.
Yeah.
It explode.
But when I accept Jesus Christ, I change my mind. The Holy Spirit start to works in my life.
Amen.
And I decide to forgive him. And I don't have any relationship with him. He's right now I'm living here in USA, and he's living in my country.
Oh, now it's backwards.
Yeah. Maybe the next year I'm going to be in my country, in Guatemala, and we try to
go back
to find him and to forgive him. I forgive him in my side of my heart.
But try to restore that relationship.
Yeah, I would try to restart because he's really old now. He's 84 years old. I don't know if he remember me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's very important that we understand is that the Bible called us to forgive everybody. Amen? Now, restoring or reconciliation is not always possible. Amen? So sometimes we kind of think that the forgiveness and reconciliation is the same thing. It's two different things. Why? Because reconciliation involves two people. Forgiveness involves only one person. Amen? You can forgive somebody, and the Bible tells us to seek for reconciliation, but if that reconciliation is not possible, you can still forgive. Amen? Why is this? Because you can force somebody to reconcile with you. You can force somebody to want to have a relationship with you. Amen? So it's very important, you know, and I'm really glad that you have forgiven him and that you want to take that step further to just go and try to find a reconciliation. So I really think that many people here or even ourselves want, at some point where we find ourselves in a situation, maybe not like this, but with a friend or a family, and that we can forgive. Amen. He came 2015, I believe. He came 2015, and he got baptized, he made the Lord. He got baptized in 2015 with all his family, and then he became to come to the church.
Yeah. It's actually, it was in 2014. In 2015, I decided to accept Jesus Christ in my life.
Amen.
And it was my best decision because God saved me, changed my mind.
Amen.
And I have my aptitude going up, yeah.
Amen.
Changing.
And in fact, when I talk to his family, they always tell me, like, my dad used to do this, my dad used to be this way, you know. And I can see, you know, it's a blessing when somebody else rather than you tells the story, how God has changed you instead of you saying. But when other people say that knows you before coming to Christ, they know that person used to be like that. And that's the case of Emilio, that his wife, his daughter, they're a testimony of what God has done slowly into his life in this last 5 years, 4 years that you've been here with us?
4 years ago. Yeah, 4 years ago.
Amen. So the last question that I want to make you today is, what advice would you give to a person that might be struggling with resentment and unforgiveness to someone?
Okay, it's a little complicated for me to give some advices because I don't know, no, all the people accept the advices, but I understood with this part of my time, I understood the life is short. It's, God gave us a lot of things to enjoy ourselves, like rivers, volcanoes, friends, people like you, and to be thinking of bad attitude is waste of time. No. We have to change. We have to do different things and accept. Let the Christ work in your life.
Amen. And we know that when we don't forgive somebody, we're changed to somebody, to an event, and we can enjoy life. Because as soon as we know, hear the name of that person, we remind ourselves and we go over and over the things they have done to us, right?
Yeah.
And it's a really miserable way to live our lives. Amen.
Yeah, God gave us a lot of things for enjoying ourselves.
Amen.
And there are three elements to destroy any person: anger, hate, and I forgot the other one.
Amen.
But it's, we have to throw away our mind, all the bad attitudes.
Yeah, we have to live in God's hands.
Yeah, amen. We have chance for to be better.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you so much, Emilio, for sharing
for
with us.
Me.
And thank you so much for just, you did a really good job. Amen.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for
thank
being.
You, Pastor. Thank you, everyone.
Amen. Amen. So, maybe you feel like you haven't forgiven a person. Maybe you, as Emilio was sharing this morning, maybe somebody came to your mind. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit reminding you the person that you haven't forgiven. And I just want to challenge you this morning. And my last point that I have here, and I just want to spend a couple of minutes here, is that how do we exercise forgiveness? Okay, we talked about why we should forgive, the reasons why. We talked about why we should do this, but the bottom line is this: how do I do this, Pastor? Like, I know this is a good thing, you know, I know I heard that this is a good thing, I know it's good for me and all that, but how actually do it? Well, I have maybe three steps that I can give you. They're very simple. They're not too complicated, but it's hard to do, okay? So, how to exercise forgiveness. The first step that you can do is you have to decide to forgive. You have to decide. Remember what I told you in the beginning? The forgiveness is a decision that you make. It's not a feeling. And we make excuses in our lives saying, oh, until I don't feel, then I won't. Amen? And we kind of like justify ourselves saying those things. It sounds pretty humbling, but in reality, we are just justifying ourselves because we don't want to let go. And we just say, well, Pastor, I'm not a hypocrite in person. Until I don't feel it, then I won't do it because I need to feel it because then I will be honest. But the reality is this: the Bible doesn't call us to live by feelings. The Bible calls us to be living by principles and God's word. Amen? So there is a chance that you will never feel like to forgive somebody. But it's a decision that you make. And when you make that decision, let me tell you, when you make the decision and you say, God, I'm going to forgive that person. I make that decision deep into my heart. I make that decision. I don't want to carry this no more. Then afterwards, the feelings are going to come. I assure you, I promise you, once you decide to forgive, the feelings will follow your decisions. Amen? So decide to forgive. The second step that I can tell you is to pray for that person. And I know there's a hard thing, somebody who hurt you. How in the world am I going to pray for that person? Remember what Jesus did on the cross. What did he do? He prayed to God to for those people that were crucifying him. Say, God, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. They do not know. So God, Jesus is our model to follow. So pray for that person. Begin, decide first, and then begin to pray for that person. I know it's going to be hard in the beginning. I know you don't, you're probably going to be like fighting your mind saying, man, what am I doing? I'm crazy. But just follow through. Just keep praying for that person until those, those bad feelings begin to heal your heart. Pray for that person. And Matthew says, Matthew 5, 43 to 45 says this, you have heard that saying, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I'll tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So, pray for those. And the third thing that I want to, a step that you can do, if it's possible, is that seek for reconciliation. But if it's not possible, then it's not up to you. But you still can forgive. You forgive, you pray, and at some point, you will try to seek reconciliation if it's possible. And if it's possible, if that person reconciles with you, great. That's the goal, the end goal. But I know that reconciliation is not always possible. But still, you can forgive and let go. Amen? So, I finish with this. As a Christian, forgiveness is not an option. It's a duty. Amen? So, I just want you to bow your heads there where you are. And let's pray this morning. And there where you are, maybe God has bring you somebody into your life, into your mind. And God is telling you today, let go. I know you have the right to get even. You could do that. But let go. Why is this? Because the Bible tells us that if we do not forgive others their trespasses and their sins, God will not forgive us our sins. And if you really want to go to heaven and you really want Christ, you have to forgive. I tell you this, if we don't have God's forgiveness, we're going to hell. So you don't want to go to hell because you didn't forgive somebody. So that's the reason why God wants us to forgive, because in order for us to have eternal life and to be forgiven, you have to forgive. And God is very clear about this. So I just want to encourage you today. Do this. Decide to forgive. Pray for that person and seek reconciliation if it's possible. Let's pray this morning. And I'll be ending. Father God, thank you so much for this word. Father, thank you so much for Emilio, Father, to kind of give us a testimony while he went through, Father, and how he got to forgive his dad, Father, for many years, Father. And I know, Father, that we have the same struggles in our lives, Father. People come and hurt us, family members, friends, Father. People in our church might hurt us, Father. Father, the people closest to us, Father, co-workers are going to hurt us, Father. And I know, Father, because we live in this world that is full of imperfect people, Father. Father, and I pray, Father, that you just help us, Father. Help us to decide, not living by feelings, not waiting until we feel to forgive, but to decide today, Father, to be liberated by forgiveness, Father, and move forward to what God, what you have for us, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, give us the ability, give us the power to decide today, Father, because that pleases you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You have a wonderful Sunday.